family who normally joins in and tunes in on a Sunday morning. This morning you have a different face behind the pulpit. We've also decided just to change the background for the Sunday, seeing that it is Mother's Day and it's a very, very special day. Also would like to take the opportunity to thank Pastor Peter and the Claremont Baptist leadership for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to share God's word with you this morning. I also would like to wish all our mothers a blessed and beautiful Mother's Day. And I trust that you will be spoiled because you deserve it. And also we remember those whose mothers have passed on, and it might be a bit of a sad day, a tinge of sadness for you, but we remember them with great fondness for their impact and the value that they have placed in our lives. Also, I know some of you might feel also sad that you're not able to physically be there with your mothers, but we also thank God for these various platforms for technology that we are still able to connect with them and have some face time. We're going to open up our service this morning in a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite Pauline as she's going to do a short prayer for us. Let's bow our heads.
Good morning, family of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you because we are all your children. You are sovereign and you are in control of this world. And this morning we want to bless your holy name and we want to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory because it is due to you, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you forgive us our sins. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. You are gracious towards all of us. And you show mercy when we do not deserve mercy. Help us to show mercy too, kindness and compassion. And Lord, may we be mindful that kindness matters. Thank you for your unconditional love. And this morning we look forward to Janine, who will be sharing the word of God with us. Holy Spirit, be with Janine. Be with every word that rolls off her tongue. Thank you for her preparation. Bless her and bless her family. And we ask all of these things in the wonderful, the powerful, and the precious name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you, Pauline, for leading us in such a beautiful prayer. This morning, we're going to continue with our sermon series called Tract. And the title for this particular sermon is Posture. We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel chapter 4. And our scripture reading will be read by Tanatswa, one of our young people in our church.
At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples on the earth. No one can hold His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me from the glory of the kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, raise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything He does is right and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble.
Well, there's a couple of verses that we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to look at a particular character in this chapter. And that's King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a trapped man. And he was trapped in three areas. He was trapped by his thinking, and as another preacher called it, a stinking thinking. He was trapped by expectation, his expectation and the expectations of others. And he was also trapped by time. And we will see later on in the passage exactly what I mean by that. But let's just put some context to this story. Daniel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now God had raised up his prophets and had warned his people that he is going to execute judgment on them because they became unfaithful, that they had turned their hearts away from God and that they had worshipped idols, foreign gods. And as a result, Daniel fell prey to what had happened, to the prophecy coming true. So the Babylonians, they took siege of Jerusalem, and he was with a band of other fine young men from the royal family, and also nobles were taken to the palace and to serve there. They were taken captive, and they were used because of their skill and their ability for the benefit of the king and for Babylon. And so Daniel was this Hebrew. He was trapped, and yet we see that even this great king himself was trapped. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and because of Daniel's faithfulness, despite Daniel being in a foreign country with a foreign culture, with a foreign ideology, Daniel still stayed true to his faith. Because of this, God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret dreams and visions. And it just so happened in the story, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And this dream deeply troubled him. And this is not the first time that Daniel interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had this dream about a tree, and there were different kinds of things that happened in and around this tree. And Daniel gets summoned to hear the king's dream, and thereby gave the interpretation. So I'm just going to read to you verse 4 and verse 9. 4 to 9. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so that they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar, after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods in him. He said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. And then as we move further down, Nebuchadnezzar explains about this tree and all the happenings concerning this tree. And then we see in verse 24 and 27, Daniel now gives the interpretation of this dream that frightened the king so much. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my lord the king. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. Like I said, Nebuchadnezzar, this king Nebuchadnezzar, that from the outside looked like he had it all. He had the power, he had the authority, but yet he was a trapped man. And we're going to see how trapped he was. God has given us, each and every one, a post or a position. And today, when I refer to motherhood, please understand, I'm not just talking about those who have biological children, but I'm including those who have adopted, that are fostering, that are maybe perhaps mentoring a young man or a young woman. Maybe you are an aunt and you are quite involved in the lives of your nephews and nieces. Or even perhaps you're a godmother, and that is how you are making an impact in the life of either a young man or a young woman. So when I refer to motherhood, please understand that it's under that umbrella. So God has given you a post, and God has given you a position. And Nebuchadnezzar, he held the post of king. And his kingdom was a great kingdom, and it was a powerful kingdom. And he became extremely proud and very arrogant within that post that he held, in that kingly position. And he attributed his success and the prosperity of Babylon, he attributed to himself. He claimed all the glory. He accomplished it all. He and he alone. And that's where we see where the stinking thinking comes in. That he realized, well, he thought that this power and this might that he has, it all came from himself. He was the one that made Babylon great. He is the one that made Babylon successful and a nation that was feared by other nations. By his mighty power, he has done this and accomplished it. Let's just look at verse 30, and we can just see the arrogance in King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, and it's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, as he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." Nebuchadnezzar made the mistake of thinking that by his own power, by his own abilities, and by his own wisdom, Babylon became great. Babylon was successful. And we sometimes make the mistake of having an overinflated view of our human power and abilities. The position that God has placed us, the measure of influence that God has given to us, the kingdom that God has entrusted into our care, whoever that is that God has called us to influence, place us in that post, in that position, God has given it to us for a purpose, and it's not to bring glory to ourselves. God has given you the post of motherhood. Remember the umbrella of motherhood I'm referring to. God has entrusted this kingdom under your care. And we are to raise our children and nurture our children to become great in Christ. And not to display our capabilities and what we are able to accomplish. It's not meant to point the spotlight or put the spotlight or place the spotlight on ourselves. God wants our children to be great. Just like Babylon was a great a nation, he wants our children to be great and to succeed. But by him and through him, he alone must get the glory. We take up this post and this position of authority, knowing that our accomplishments and our successes, this is achieved only by and through God. And we must be careful that we don't operate in the same kind of thinking as Nebuchadnezzar, and by so doing become trapped in it. The wisdom we exercise to execute our daily responsibilities and our duties, either as a mother or in our place of employment, as a student, someone that is studying, that is within a class, and you have other friends around you, other students, fellow students around you. Wherever God has placed you, God wants to use you, and God wants to be the one on whom you depend to accomplish his purpose where he has placed you. It is God who sustains us. It is God who gives us the necessary strength. It is God who sees us through different challenges. Sometimes as a parent, we face challenges. And God is the one that is able to see us through and to carry us through it, because it is done by him, and it is done for him, and it is done through him. I want to ask you this question. Are you fulfilling your purpose and your post by depending on God, by seeking His wisdom, by relying on Him, by calling on His power, trusting Him to accomplish His will in our children's lives? God has given you this calling, and it's a God-given calling. And this God-given calling is called motherhood, and it comes with a great responsibility. But God has not given it so that we can show, this is what I have accomplished through my children. Look at my efforts. Look at my endeavors. Look at the sacrifices that I have made. And when our children are successful, we want to claim that glory. And we want people to look at us and be, wow, this mother is amazing. Look at her home. It's well run. The glory should never be given to us. We need to realize that God is the one that empowers us. He's the one that helps us. And He's the one that guides us. And so we give God the glory. And we realize that this post that we have, He empowers us. And we do not allow the world to set that standard. We allow God to set the standard of parenting, of mothering, of mentoring, of nurturing, of being a godmother. So God has given us this post, and we need to ensure that we are dependent on Him to carry out what He has called us to do. And so this leads me to my second point. Point number two, God has given us a purpose. So we have a God-given purpose, and that purpose is to mother, to nurture, and to parent our children in the fear and in the ways of the Lord. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar and where he went wrong. He thought that the purpose of his position was to show others how great he was. And he put a lot of pressure on himself. Remember I said that he was trapped by expectation? Now you can imagine the pressure, because he needed to constantly prove himself to other nations that we have the military strength, we have the power, we are prosperous. And he had to ensure that that takes place within his kingdom. And so he placed expectation on himself, and he allowed others to. And sometimes we fall into that same trap, mothers, where we place unnecessary expectations on ourselves to produce, to show that we can, to show that we are capable. And must be careful that we do not fall into that trap. Nebuchadnezzar, he boasted. He was very proud, and he boasted about his capabilities, to the point where we see in Daniel chapter 3, what did he do? He enforced a law whereby people had to bow down and worship a gold statue. And this statue today, we can liken it to man-made achievements, man-made accomplishments. And instead, this king neglected to understand that God had given him his authority to use it to teach his people that Jehovah was the true God. He was the only God. You see, Nebuchadnezzar already had an encounter with Daniel, whereby when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, he told Daniel that it's the holy God, it's the true God that has given me the interpretation of your dream, that there is only one God, Jehovah God. And Nebuchadnezzar refused to listen. And so he was proud in his man-made achievements, and he flaunted his capabilities, and he neglected to turn people's attention and focus to Christ. Instead, he turned their focus towards man-made endeavors. And we need to be careful that we don't make the same mistake like Nebuchadnezzar with our children, with those people that within our sphere of influence, because we should not point the attention to this is what we want to achieve, man-made achievements. There's nothing wrong with wanting to achieve great things and have goals, but when we place that above at the expense of God's activity in our life, in the expense of God's will in our life, then we are to be pitied. Paul says that if we place our hope in this world alone, then we are pitied to be pitied above all. we also know there's a scripture verse that says, and something that my husband liked to quote, it says, what does it profit? Now, if you are a businessman and you look at profit and you look at loss, you're going to see where it's worth investing. And it says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet here's the loss, you lose your soul? Is it a worthwhile investment to gain the whole world, but in the end, you use something that is of eternal? So we need to have a biblical worldview, a biblical view and understanding of God's purpose for us. And what does God expect from us as mothers, as mentors, as godmothers? You see, Nebuchadnezzar was trapped in that expectation, and he had the wrong expectation. He had a man-made expectation placed on himself. And we need to ask a different kind of question. Not what does the world expect, or how can I impress my friends or my family, because I need to prove to them that I can raise my children well, and my children can succeed, and I can do well in my place of employment, so that I get the glory, so that the spotlight is on me. Remember, God's word says that whatever we do, whether it's in word and deed, we do it all for the honor and glory of His name. That is our purpose. That's what drives us. So we still serve with excellence, but we serve it so that God, and we do it so that God alone gets the glory. And so when we ask the question, what does God expect from me as a mother, that will inform and influence our purpose. The authority that God has given us in our homes and over our children's lives is to be used for God's glory. That's the point of this authority and this kingdom that has been entrusted to our care. Our nurturing, our mentoring, our mothering all needs to glorify God. It needs to honor Him. The way we practice motherhood is an opportunity for us to display God's grace, because sometimes there are situations that our children challenges that very fact of showing grace and extending grace to them. But it is an opportunity for us to actually live out the gospel in our home, to display God's power, to display God's wisdom. Not so long ago, there was an issue with our son, and we said, let's pray about it, and let's pray about this particular person at your school. And afterwards, we can then, you will come back and share, this is what happened. And this happened about 2 years ago, where Paul just had a particular issue, and we started praying for this boy, and everything worked out. And even there, they get to see God's power. Our mothering gives us an opportunity also to display God's unconditional love. And so we must not misunderstand why we have this kingdom, like Nebuchadnezzar. He completely misunderstood why he had this kingdom, because he thought it was all about him and that he needed to prove that he was great. And so the authority and the influence given by God is so that we can point our children, we can point our families to Christ. Not to a gold statue, not to man-made achievements and endeavors. And so perhaps God is challenging somebody today, someone today, that we need to once again realign our purpose to a God-directed one. So we have a God-given post, we have a God-given purpose. And my last point is, we have a God-given posture. Let's look at verse 36 to 37 of Daniel chapter 4. Now, you remember, God requires us to have a particular posture before Him. And this is what Daniel chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 says, is when my sanity returned. Now, because of Nebuchadnezzar's stubbornness and because of his pride and arrogance, Daniel came and warned him that this dream was actually a dream of judgment, and that God is going to afflict you mentally. And so he was mentally afflicted. And then there was a time period that he was living like a wild animal. And so that's how God even reduced this great man. that he was roaming around. It says that his nails grew like claws, his hair grew, looked like feathers. He acted and behaved like an animal. And then in verse 36 it says, when my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom, with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. And he is able to humble the proud. God requires us to have a particular posture. In the beginning of this passage, we see that Nebuchadnezzar had a posture of pride, a posture of arrogance. He was boastful because he placed the spotlight on himself. He had a posture of self-dependence, a posture of self-reliance. And he placed his confidence and he placed his hope in his political accomplishments and power. And through God's intervention, the king's posture changed from one of pride and arrogance to one of surrender and humility. The Bible tells us that God opposes the proud, but he lifts up the humble. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. God opposes a haughty spirit, a prideful spirit. And God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be trapped under mental affliction for time being because he needed to deal with that spirit of pride, with that spirit of arrogance, where we are not willing to admit. You know, sometimes within our homes, we find it really difficult to admit to our children or even to our spouse when we are wrong. And God opposes that pride. God wants us to be humble and that we would surrender sometimes our own will or our own. Sometimes we feel that maybe it's a sign of weakness if we need to ask for forgiveness or we need to apologize. And yet, we even read where Paul says, 3 times I asked the Lord to remove this thorn, this affliction from me. But God needed to deal with pride. And 3 times the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, this is all about God displaying who he is through our lives. But when we become pride, we resist and we block God's activity in our life. And so God had to bring Nebuchadnezzar down to the point of behaving like a wild animal. And so when he surrendered, that's when God came and God restored him and God restored his kingdom back to him. And so we need to have a posture of surrender, a posture of submission, and a posture of prayer. If you look at Daniel, throughout the book of Daniel, you will find Daniel praying. Daniel was a man of prayer. And because he was a man of prayer, that is why Daniel was so successful and so influential in his position. And God requires us to have that type of posture before him, not one of arrogance, not one of I want to do it my way, I want to accomplish things on my terms. No, we need to have a posture of prayer, posture of surrender, and a posture of humility. Nebuchadnezzar's encounter with God resulted in him changing his posture to one of prayer and to one of praise. If we have made mistakes, God will redeem. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, he made mistakes, but God redeemed the time. What does it say? That he restored my kingdom and it was even greater than before. That time that he had lost, God was able to make up for it. And that even became greater, the impact and his influence was even greater than before. There's this hymn that whenever I sing it, whenever I hear it, it's got such a powerful message. And I'm always moved by it. And many of you probably know it. It's In Christ Alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. My hope is not in my abilities. My hope and my confidence is not in my job or even my job security. My hope is not in my achievements or accomplishments, but my hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. He is my light. He is my strength and He is my song. He's the cornerstone, He's this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And I'm sure Daniel felt that he was in the storm, but he placed his feet on the solid ground, which is Christ and Christ alone. And once he did that, he was actually the one that was free. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one that was a trapped man. And so, as I conclude, I just want to remind you that we need to hold our post, hold our position in God's power and for His glory. And as we hold our post, may we allow God to fulfill His purpose in our lives and our family lives through our obedience, so that God can display His power and His greatness. And that we must remember that this is only possible by having a posture of prayer, a posture of surrender, and a posture of submission to the will of God. We're going to close off and end off with a song, In Christ Alone. And you are allowed to, if you want to, you can sing with it, or you can just allow the lyrics just to wash over your soul as we are reminded again that we need to place our hope and our trust in God alone, and He will accomplish great things in our lives. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for your word. Father, thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you have reminded us that anything that we have accomplished, it's through you and by you and for you. Lord, I pray if we, like Nebuchadnezzar, might have had that stinking thinking, dear Lord, I pray that you would forgive us and that you would correct our thinking, dear Father, and that you would help us to realign it to your purpose and to your will and to your truth, according to your truth, dear Father. Lord, I pray that we would live out the gospel in our homes, at our workplaces, dear Father, so that your power, so that your greatness, so that your goodness, dear Father, and your grace might be displayed through us. Father, I pray that as we impact the next generation, dear Lord, Father, I pray that our impact would be great and far-reaching, so that our children and our children's children will serve you and continue, dear Father, to spread the good news of the love and mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would come and work in our hearts, work in our families' hearts and lives and in our homes, and transform it, dear Father, according to your will and your way. We say thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for what you are going to accomplish through your word. Your word of truth, Jesus' name, amen. And if you perhaps have anything that you are struggling with and you are in need of prayer, please do not hesitate to contact us. Our contact details will be on the screen, and we are here for you to support you in whichever way we can. May the Lord bless you, and may you have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and grace. righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life, no fear in death. The power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.